bringing you the best that wildlife has to offer here at Laurels Wood. This is Wildlife Whispers. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Wildlife Whispers. Thanks for finding us again, and I've been blown away by the response that I had to episode 1. Incredibly, over the course of the week, in the science and nature category on Apple Podcasts, it got up as high as number 54. Absolutely incredible. For a first timer, that is absolutely unbelievable. So thank you to everybody that subscribed, that downloaded it. Made my week, that. Absolutely amazing. So thank you. Coming up on this podcast, I aim to say and a lot less. Apparently I did that a lot last week, so sorry about that. I'm going to be talking you through the first fixed camera that went in here, the Barn Owl Box 1. Happened probably around about 5 years ago, I think now. It's seen a lot of action over the years, and I'll be telling you about how I chose that particular camera for there, how the setup works, and some of the highlights that we've seen over the years. Your questions have also been coming in, so thank you very much for those. Got loads of them this week, so yeah, thank you to everybody that sent one in. Stay tuned and find out if it's yours, and we'll try and get that answered this week for you. So let's crack on. So let's start things off with the tawny owls. Now, those that were listening to last week's episode would have seen that I've got network issues down the bottom of the wood, and sadly, they are still there. I don't know what's going on. I've had a local IT company, sort of virtually access the network and see if they can work out what's going on, but they can't see why it's not responding. So sadly, it's going to have to be a site visit. I'm just waiting for an appointment for them to come round and have a look. For whatever reason, it's dropping off the network for 3 or 4 days at a time, and then it's briefly coming back on. Sadly, not long enough to kind of record anything, but I did have a quick glimpse, and actually I can now tell you there are 4 eggs, or certainly the last time I looked and was able to look, there are 4 tawny owl eggs in that box. Now, last year we had an amazing year. We had 3 eggs, which we thought was brilliant. But 4 is absolutely fantastic. So I just hope we can get the network responding properly so that I can bring you regular updates from there. Because following 4 would be fascinating. We were fortunate enough to have 2 tawny owls hatch and fledge successfully. But imagine 4, surely, is that possible? Well, we'll find out. So yeah, keep things crossed, please. I want to get it fixed, and hopefully it will be done very, very soon. The barn owls, let's turn to them, see what's going on with those. They're both still around every night. There's still lots of mating going on within the box. We're not just talking once a night. There's quite a few times in the evening. Lots of sort of pellet breaking up, still happening. We're tiptoeing ever closer to the point of egg laying, but if they go by their timetable of last year, the first egg was the 10th of May. So we've still got a lot of time to kind of go forward. But maybe we're looking at an early clutch. I don't remember them being this active this early last year. So maybe we are in for an early clutch. I know that barn owls can lay at any time of the year if the conditions are right for them. The rain, we've had huge amounts of rain over the last few months. And whether that's had an impact on rodent population or sort of prey for the owls, I'm not really sure. Because obviously they need to be able to successfully hunt and provide food for the brood. So if they are mating and they are scraping, maybe they think there isn't a problem with that. And they will always produce a good number of eggs to fulfill however many rodents or what the rodent population is doing. So there's lots still to happen, but yeah, things are so positive and looking really, really good. So maybe we're not far away. Next time you tune in, maybe they will have laid an egg. We'll have to wait and see. Time to turn now to the Kestrel cam. Still waiting to capture a really good shot, but I can tell you that the activity is certainly picking up there. We're seeing the Kestrels around an awful lot more. We just need one of them to sit in the hollow of the tree so that I can bring you a really clear, good shot. But I'm really excited about this one this year. I think we're going to be able to do it. Just, yeah, again, it's one of these, we're starting off in the season, just keep things crossed. But things, again, looking really, really positive. And finally, let's look at the garden bird setups that we have here. We've got a blue tit box, and of course we've got the great tit box as well. Now the great tits, nothing really happening there. They're still roosting overnight, but nothing coming in for like nest material or anything like that. I don't know if it's the weather here. Again, it's been very, very... The weather's been fluctuating an awful lot. Lots of warm days recently, then windy and cold and horrible the next. So maybe it's not stable enough for them yet. The blue tits, they took about a week to 10 days last year to build their nest. We've had little bits of nesting material brought in and then taken out again. And then another one brings something in and they are very fussy. They seem to like it just so, and if the wrong material's in, well, it just gets hoyed out, and then more nesting material of a different sort gets brought in. So yeah, things are starting to shape up a little bit for the blue tits, and we'll keep an eye on how that progresses over the next week. But yeah, great tits, nothing happening. Blue tits, a little bit of action. So yeah, hopefully it looks like they're going to use that box again for a nest site this year. So over the course of this podcast series, I want to try and give you an insight into the different setups that we have here at Laurel's Wood. And we're going to start with the first main one. Last week I talked about trail cameras and how that kind of got me hooked into filming wildlife. But the first kind of proper setup with a fixed camera was the barn owl box that we have here. And we didn't really notice it when we first moved in. Here, the actual box itself. As I say, we've been here about 12 years, and I think it was probably after about 6 to 8 months, we suddenly realised that in this outbuilding that we've got down the bottom of the garden, there was like a box in the apex of the roof on the inside of the building. And so had a little look round outside. And what had happened was they'd put this box up and left, taken like a brick out of the apex at the top to form like an opening so that birds could go in and out. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if something used that box? So went up, had a little look myself, very cautiously. You know, me and ladders don't always get on well. And we went up to the top, looked in, and it was absolutely chock full of sticks. So I think jackdaws or something like that had been in there trying to nest, and was sort of, yeah, they'd rammed it absolutely full of them. So the first job was to pull all that out, and then I realised just actually how deep and how long that box actually is. So I looked around and I thought, well, there must be a way of filming whatever sort of happens to go inside the box. And looked online and found this amazing little camera from Green Feathers. A little Wi-Fi camera, because we had Wi-Fi down there. I thought, wow, that'd be perfect. Just plug it in, sort of hook it up, and we might, if we're lucky enough, get something coming by. So yeah, ordered the camera, it came. Really, really simple instructions. I couldn't believe, because I'm not really particularly technical, but when the camera came with a little instruction booklet. You download an app, you follow the steps, and hey presto, this little camera is connected to your phone. The picture quality was amazing. I thought, well, you know, if we're going to get something, it's going to look amazing on this. So I screwed it into position inside the box and just couldn't believe our luck. The sticks had gone, the camera was in, and for the first few days we saw nothing. But then, it mustn't have been more than a week, we saw our first barn owl. And it just sort of popped in. The box was completely empty by that point. There were no pellets. It looked fresh. It looked brand new. So clean and tidy. And just this, the sight of this barn owl. It was infrared, obviously, because it was nighttime. But then over the course of the days, it kind of stuck around. And then it lasted probably about 3 days initially. And we've got a gorgeous, gorgeous shot of it in the daytime as well. The colours were amazing. But then it disappeared. And I thought, oh, that I can't believe it. It turned up. And then there was nothing for ages, absolutely ages. So I asked a few people online who were in the sort of the owl business. And they said, well, if you look at the opening that you've got at the owl box, it's far too big. Because traditionally, barn owls, they like a smaller entrance to kind of hop in and out of. And it keeps their brood or potential brood safe and all that kind of thing. But this was just far too big. And so they said, you need to make it like half as big. So I got back on the ladders again, a bit of wood, and screwed a plank of wood over the bottom half of the hole, making it a lot smaller. And the number of comments I still get about this saying, oh, you've trapped them in, or you've boarded up their hole or whatever. No, the wood's there for a reason. It's to make that entrance a little bit smaller and more enticing for barn owls to actually use that particular box. So that happened. And then I thought, yeah, let's chuck a bit of sawdust in there and see if that makes a difference and sort of makes it a little bit more welcoming for them. Well, the barn owl arrived, it went in there, didn't really like the sawdust and stayed for maybe like 1-2 days. Didn't see it again for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. So I thought, right, sawdust is coming out. And as soon as I took the sawdust out, the hole was halved, this barn owl turned up, and it stayed from, I think, September all the way through to like the spring. Stayed there every single day, roosted, brilliant. And it was unringed. And looking at the footage now, and sort of the knowledge and experience that I've gained over the years, we could tell it was a male. It didn't have any flecks or spots on its front. So that was the male. And my little daughter, she called it Boo. A little bit ghost-like on the screen, a little bit white, a little bit spooky. So that's what she called it. And we thought, we just need it to find a little mate. And then lo and behold, the following spring, there was this other owl that turned up and it had a ring on its leg. So it had obviously been rung as an owlet somewhere. And yet the daughter steps forward again. She gets really interested in it and she goes, oh, like ring, what can we ring? Ringo! And so Ringo was born out of, literally, it had a ring, but cute name. So Ringo and Boo were born. Now, the setup was followed online during lockdown by thousands of people, thanks to the involvement of Nestbox at that time. And they went on to have 7 eggs that year, absolutely bumper brood. And all 7 hatched. It was brilliant. We had and the camera captured everything. It captured the moment that they were mating, the moment when the first egg suddenly appeared, and then another, and then another. And as I say, we got 7 eggs that year, and she laid them. Ringo beautifully laid them slightly away from the camera, so you got the full view. And when she was feeding these owlets that hatched, she kind of had her protective wings around them and just sort of pulling off bits of prey and just feeding it to the little ones. Absolutely stunning. And yeah, people just fell in love with watching the journey. Sadly, one owl didn't make it that particular year, but 6 got to fledge stage, and we watched them sort of fledge and fly off and take the first steps outside and all that kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you more about the whole episode of lockdown and watching the barn owls in next week's episode. But to be able to see this whole journey with this just tiny, tiny little camera that you could then have on your phone, you could record the footage, you could share it, you could stream it. Absolutely incredible. We did have a bad year the next year that sadly the camera captured again. And again, I'll tell you more about that next year. Let's just call him Intruder Owl, and some people might know exactly who I'm talking about. But yeah, we've never looked back. Over the past 4 years, 12 barn owlets have successfully got to fledge stage and have made their way off into the world. We've been able to ring them with help from the BTO reps that come down and work their magic with the rings and the weighing and all that kind of thing. But it's been a really, really successful box. And we wouldn't have known any of this had we not been able to get one of these little tiny cameras, the Green Feathers camera, and pop it in the box. And who needs to watch telly anymore? Just watch your phone. Watch the wildlife as it does its magic. So now it's time to answer your questions. And the direct messages, the comments, the emails, there's been loads of questions come in, so thank you very much for that. And I can say that this week's question comes from Jan. And I'm not going to give out Jan's full name, and I never will give people's full names out, because it just helps protect them as well. But Jan asked, what management do you do to Laurel's Wood to encourage wildlife? An absolutely brilliant question. Thank you, Jan, for sending that in. And to be honest, I try and leave as much as I can to let nature take its course. Now, having said that, there are things like the boxes need cleaning out. So the garden bird boxes, I do in sort of like the late autumn and give them a scrub and a clean and make sure they're clean and ready to go for next year. With the tawny owl box and the barn owl boxes, they get cleaned out as well. And there's quite an appetite for barn owl pellets. I'm finding out. Quite a few people want them, and I'm actually sending some now to one of the colleges in York. They want to sort of have last year's pellets to see if they can do some sort of dissection with them and things with their students. So, yeah, pellets really important for sort of educational purposes. So, yeah, apart from sort of cleaning out the boxes, it also gives me an opportunity to clean the cameras. Because you'll see, particularly if you've seen some of the latest footage, when the birds and the owls come in, they can occasionally sort of rub up against the lens of the camera and get it a little bit mucky. Now, obviously, during the barn owl season, I can't go in there and clean the lens because it's illegal to interfere with any kind of live barn owl nest site. So you've got to kind of just leave it. When you get to the ringing stage and the owlets are taken out of the box, that's a perfect opportunity to give it a quick wipe before you put them back. But other than that, we've got to wait till the end of the season. So again, when I clean the pellets out, the cameras get a clean as well. Any sort of cables will get repaired at that point as well. But from a sort of a land management point of view, if throughout the course of the year, trees will kind of overgrow to where maybe the access routes into the boxes are. So as long as I try and keep those clear and sort of prune the trees and branches back a little bit, not hugely, but just to give them clear flight paths in, that's about it. I put a perch pole in just because there's like a sort of a paddocky area at the bottom of near the wood. And it was quite an open space, and I thought, well, let's break it up. And there was an old telegraph pole lying around, so I cemented that into the ground. And the space around that, I used to cut all the way down to sort of base level, almost lawn-like, with the mower. But now I have patches where I just let it go wild for the year, not only encouraging sort of butterflies and bees and that kind of thing, but the long grass is great for hunting in for these birds of prey as well. So yeah, it's not perfectly manicured. I do leave rough bits again around to kind of help promote the wildlife and the habitats that they might enjoy. And then in the wood itself, I do cut paths into the wood around so our daughter and her friends can sort of run around the wood and play and all that kind of thing. But the rest of it is pretty much left to kind of do its own thing. I will sort of tidy up a little bit so it doesn't get completely unruly in the autumn, but yeah, pretty much leaving the nature to its own devices. So I hope that answers your question, Jan, and thank you very much once again for sending it in. And if you have a question that you'd like to know the answer to, then yeah, please just drop me a line, info@laurelswood.com, or alternatively, send me a direct message on Facebook or Twitter, or X, as it should be called, or Instagram. And I'll choose another one for next week's episode. So once again, we're reaching the end of the podcast this week. Next time, very exciting. Some people will know the name, but they won't have heard the voice. I'm hoping that a massive friend of Laurel's Wood is going to be joining me on the podcast next week. I'm not going to say any more, but it should be a treat for people who have followed the page for a very, very long time. Maybe I'll drop a little teaser in during the week. The Tawny Owls, we're going to be revisiting them. Has the network issue finally been resolved? Fingers crossed. I need it to. If there's four eggs in there, come on, we've got to find out what's going on. The Barn Owls, will they be any closer to laying the eggs? And of course, the Garden Birds. Blue Tits, are they halfway through? Are they nearly finished nest building? And Great Tits, have they got underway? We'll have to find out next time. And we'll have another one of your questions that hopefully I will have the answer to. So all that remains for me to say is thanks once again for listening. Episode 2, unbelievable. Hope you found it useful, informative, and a little bit entertaining. And don't forget, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to this on, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Deezer or whatever it might be. Please subscribe, because that means that you won't miss out on the next episode when it drops. Also, if you can leave us a review, that would be fantastic, because again, that just helps expose the podcast to more people. So please, yeah, subscribe, leave a review, and if you want to get in touch with me, just use the email address, info@laurelswood.com. You can follow me on social media, whether it's the Facebook page, Laurel's Wood, Insta, for Laurel's Wood there, or Twitter as well, you can find me there. So, yeah, thanks for listening once again, and enjoy the wildlife wherever you are. Take care, and I'll speak to you soon.